Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome again to another episode of your podcast, Edification and Wellbeing. This is your personal physical educator, Juan Baez. And today we have, this will be my second episode ever. As I've mentioned before, what I'm doing is sharing the episodes that I started before and I posted on my YouTube account. I'm just subtracting the audio and putting them here. It is a platform or audio format so that I have everything that I have created for my podcast all together, and then I will just continue creating new content. After this one, next one will be the third episode that I ever created, and then that's it. Then we'll just continue. Among the topics that I will be touching afterwards, you know, after I end up sharing all of this previous episodes to have all the collection together, will be the topic of transhumanism and how technology could be integrated in the human body and within the human body, or, you know, what is whatever transhumanism is in order for us to help us integrate or live longer, and how it works with our health and whatnot. For that, I have contacted someone who is very prominent in such topic. And just awaiting answer. But if that person doesn't answer anyways, then I will just do the research and share it with you guys. Other topics will be emotions, will be all the aspects of health, and we'll just break it down into the different aspects of health. So it will be sort of like an aspects of health series in which we're going to touch, you know, like the physical aspects, consciousness aspect, cognitive aspect, and so on. All the six components of health or aspects that I so far I understand that there are. We'll talk about the neurology of music. And in this one, I don't know anything about music. I'm just doing research and you know, taking notes. However, if you are a musician, or if you know a musician or someone who have done the work on the psychology or neurology of music and how it influences our education and health, I would be totally appreciative of you collaborating with me or sharing whatever research you have with me so that I can explore the topic and share it here in the podcast. And then I will continue on with the, I haven't done it in many months, but I want to continue with a series on the health, on the history of physical education, health and fitness, right? I think I stopped in the Roman times. And then I will continue with the Renaissance, and I will continue with the Enlightenment age and modern times, and then physical education, health and fitness, philosophies and history throughout the world. So we're going to Asia, we're going to Latin America, we're going to the Caribbean, we're going to, you know, any other part, Europe, etc. Okay. And then from there, other topics, yes, such as nutrition and diet and all of these things that are very essential, and many other topics that will come, because what is education and well-being, or edification and well-being, are two universes that complement each other. And there's, I think, limitless information that could be shared here. This is, again, my second episode ever. And without further ado, I hope this is of use to you and hope you enjoy. Okay. And, there is, I think the platform that I'm using for the podcast, Anchor, has created, I think, an easier way for you guys to communicate with me. I haven't received so far that I know any comments on the podcast or whatnot, but I see that there's people listening, right? I see the plays and downloads, and there is like 20, 21, 100 and something, 150, almost 200. So people is listening. So I will start sharing a link in the description of this of each episode, in which you can just click there and you can quickly, through that link, leave me a voice message, either a good comment, a positive comment, right? And I would appreciate that advice, or negative comments if you don't like the podcast, or things that you would like me to say. So tell me about you, tell me about where you are, tell me about what you do. And you know, the cool things, and or how this podcast have helped you, either increase or I would say improve, I'm sorry, your views or have helped you change your views on the world of health and education, let me know and I will share it in the introductions. That will be super cool to do. So anyways, now without further ado, enjoy this episode. It's titled Solutions and Not Resolutions. And it's about the importance of creating solutions at the moment of developing goals and at the moment of engaging in healthy practices. All right. Talk to you next time. Remember, next episode will be my third episode ever. And then we're going to continue with other cool stuff. And don't forget, send me a voicemail through the link that I'll be sharing. Have a great day. Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan, Coach Juan again with now episode 2 of the my podcast, Beyond Fitness. I changed the name to PE and Health Beyond Fitness, or Physical Education and Health Beyond Fitness. I found out that there's other YouTube channels and podcasts that are called Beyond Fitness, and I don't want anything or any issues in that aspect, and I want to be as original as possible, as well as they want to be as original as possible. So I changed the name to that. I will first want to thank you to all of those who subscribe. So far it's 8 for this, at least as of today, and I want more subscriptions and participations. Again, as I mentioned in my previous podcast video, your participation is energy for me. It will give me motivation to just, keep sharing with you relevant information about health and fitness. All right. And today's episode, I want to talk about an article that I wrote, and it got published in a website called Thrive Global. And Thrive is an international organization that dedicates to promote health and fitness and well-being all over the world. And Thrive Global is very recognized within fitness and health and wellness professionals, and in the corporate world as well. They do a lot of corporate stuff. And I learned about them while I was promoting my online corporate fitness program, and someone told me about them, and I submitted this article, and it got published. All right. And so the name of the article that I want to share with you is called Solutions, Not Resolutions. Keep your changes sustainable, right? Just so you know, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to kind of like go over a few things and then just make a few comments on that. And of course, then I would like your participation, what you think about it, and so forth. Okay, so solutions, not resolutions. Keep your changes sustainable. I wrote this because the thing with I've had this thing with resolutions for over the years. For a while, I went away from being a coach, and then when I came back, I'm pretty much just like everyone. You make resolutions, not necessarily at the beginning of a year, but you just make resolutions. But I found that the resolution concept implies redoing things all the time. I want to restart losing weight, or I want to restart being healthier, and so on. And if it doesn't work, then I just wait for next year and I restart and restart. And it's kind of like this eternal cycle of restarting over and over and over again. Now, we can see that in the health and fitness industry, right? Yeah, it's the beginning of the year, and most people go and they just go for like crazy to the gym, and within 2 or 3 weeks they stop going, and then it comes Valentine's Day, they get into a diet for Valentine's Day, and so on, and then they stop doing everything again, and then hey, there's a spring break, so let me just kind of like get exercising. And then we stop again. And then for summer, we do the same. And then for Christmas, we do the same. And so on and so on and so on. It just keeps sort of happening. And my understanding is that we, instead of maybe looking for re-solutions, we need to find a solution. Something that is more sustainable.
that even though it might not necessarily be for the rest of your life, all right, that you can, maybe you can just sustain that for long periods of time. So I rather find a solution. Okay, so starting with the article, I'm just gonna go real quick for the definition of what a resolution is, right? According to the dictionary, is a firm decision to do or not to do something. Okay, and generally, the what happens is that most people get too many resolutions to do at once. It's pretty much the same like when you do a task list for your job and you have like 30 items, then you just go crazy, because if in your mind you have to finish those 30 items in a day or in a period of like 4 or 5 hours, it's going to be practically impossible. And then the stress is going to come up and you're going to end up jumping from one side to another, from one task to another, to try and get it all at the same time, and you may end up doing nothing. And that's what happens, I would say, 90% of the time with the health and fitness aspect. You know, people want to work with their nutrition and with their exercises and with their pains and restrictions and with their psychological issues and all of this, that's all at the same time. And on top of that, they want to, you know, lose weight in 3 weeks or you know, in less. And sometimes it's, you know, it's very hard. And it becomes so complicated that they get frustrated and they end up quitting. So for me, a solution then is something that it may take a lot more time, sometimes a lot more time than a resolution, but it is something that is sustainable. That is how I work with myself. That is how I recommend my clients to work. And again, although it takes a lot more time, you can ask people who've worked with me and they are like, okay, this is something that I can just maybe adapt better. I don't require like extreme changes right away. I like the baby step approach, okay? And I wrote in this article of a series of steps which are not definitive, okay? I would recommend you to read it anyway, read them and go over them, but these are not like the steps to do. You can change them, there could be more, there could be less. This is just the way I have been working, and I've been adding things, and I've been even taking away things as I learn, and as evidence keeps coming in and as I keep learning more about myself. So the first step goes like this. For solutions, I stopped thinking that being healthy means being skinny, or that having a six-pack or a big chest is a sign of strength. I focus on being able to sleep better, move better, feel better, be more energized, be able to carry my daughter in my arms, which is a really big issue that I had because of serious back issues. So that was a more functional, practical goal, being able to carry my daughter and enjoy life with her, instead of saying, well, I want to be able to bench press, I don't know, 350 pounds. And I'm not saying that this is necessarily bad. I'm saying that when we develop or we set goals for our health and fitness, they should be first practical and functional. They should help us live better and enjoy life better and have a better quality of life. And the rest, then it's just kind of like an addition to it. But when we put something like that, like for example, let's just say run a mile or deadlift 500 pounds and things like that, that since it doesn't necessarily add to your life or to your health in general, then people tend to get confused and people sometimes get to get frustrated and sometimes even injured, because there are many things that need to go before or need to be done before you get ready for that. Well, whether it's physical or whether it's psychological, okay? So I focus on being healthy and having a better quality of life. And there's a little more to that step, but I'm gonna jump to the next one. The next one says that I decided that while eating, or while I eat, you know, whole and healthy meals, I will also enjoy my life. After all, why would you say no to the cake in a wedding? Maybe just don't eat it at all. I put this because I've been called by clients in many occasions, again, 16 years doing this, and some clients have called me and say, hey, you know, I have a wedding on the weekend, should I go? Hey man, you know, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl with my friends and family, should I go? There's gonna be beer and things like that. And you shouldn't ask for that. It should be intuitive for you not necessarily intuitive. It shouldn't come down to the point that you have to stop enjoying life with friends and family because of a diet or because of a lifestyle or because of an exercise program. Just don't eat it all. Just don't drink it all. Just don't abuse. I mean, how bad would a family member or a friend of yours will feel when you tell them that you're not going, and then they realize that you're not going because of your diet or because of your lifestyle or exercise program? I mean, if it's my wedding and you're a really good friend of mine, we're not gonna be friends anymore, all right? So we have to just be wise about the decisions we make when we go to these events. Hey, again, get a piece of cake and don't eat it all. Just satiate your craving for the sweets. I'm not saying don't eat it. Maybe just eat a smaller piece, and that way, then after that, just drink some water, you know, to kind of like wash down the excess of sugar that stays kind of like lingering in your mouth, and you don't think about it that much before eating that piece of cake. Hey, eat some healthy food, maybe get a salad, get some veggies, and so on. All right, so the third step is I eliminated from within the ideas, the thoughts, and the feelings that changes have to be instantaneous. This is something that is happening a lot, ultimately. And as I've been doing research for my book, I have found out some very scary, and have to be honest, scary information, research, and papers written by researchers and doctors about how expecting instant gratification creates many issues and affecting all aspects of health, the physical aspect, the social aspect, the intellectual aspect, the psychological aspect, and the spiritual aspect. All of these get affected when we think that jumping into an exercise program or into a diet, we're gonna get, you know, results like that. And unfortunately, many people promote this these programs, you know, like and they guarantee that in 30 days you're gonna get the best shape of your life, or that in 6 months you're gonna be totally transformed, without taking into consideration what total transformation implies. Okay, because total transformation implies changing from one thing to another, or from one person to another, and you have to be really careful, and we have to be really careful. In fact, I like to say that us fitness professionals and educators have a very delicate very important social responsibility when it comes to this. How we use these words: transformation, change, a new year, new you. The no pain, no gain things are very, they could be very dangerous, and they have been found in research and studies that they are very dangerous. So maybe in a resolution, we tend to find the quick fix. In a solution, we are a little more wise about the decisions we take and we make, and we just tend to take it, you know, baby steps, take it easier. And even though, again, it takes a little more time, hey, you know, it's safer that way. Later on, I want to go into each step in other episodes and dig deeper into that, and so that to share with you the serious implications of many things, and also maybe tips that you can get for your own health and fitness. Fourth step. I say that one. This one may shock you, but it needs to be said, okay? Rice, pasta, breads, desserts, and alcohol were never a problem, are not the problem, and they were never the problem. The issue is overuse of this, abuse of these things. I learned a term a few weeks ago, something that's called the French paradox. There is this writer called Michael Pollan. I recommend you finding Michael Pollan. I think it's Pollan. He's a journalist, professor, and he's also a writer who writes books on nutrition and health in general. He has a documentary on Netflix called Cooked and another one called In Defense of Food. I recommend, totally recommend for you to go and watch those two. So in the French paradox, what it's defined by this view that the American people have of the French, that they eat all, you know, they eat cheeses and they eat all of this desserts and creams and breads and coffee all the time, and the baguette here and the croissant here and wine like there's no tomorrow. And the French people are, you know, thinner than we are. They live longer than we live here in the United States of America. They have a better quality of life. They work less and all of these things. There's, of course, many factors that affect these things. But it is interesting to see how other cultures, for example, eat things that we criticize and we put as unhealthy, but they're not. Look at the Asians, for example, eating rice like, you know, a lot, and they still have better quality of life. And some Asian cultures, I'm not saying all, but it is very interesting to see. And then there is this other paradox called the American paradox, right? And this is very interesting. I was doing some research for my book, and I found that we are, in the United States of America, we are the people that have the most gyms around. We are the people that have the most diet programs and nutritional programs all around. We are the people that have all of these supplements, right? You know, shakes and pills and things like that that are healthy and nutritious, and we have all of these programs more than any other country in the world, yet we are the most obese country in the world and the least functional country in the world. A nice fact that I found in the website, I will find a reference and put it there at the bottom too, in the comments for you to go. But something somewhere around 88% the American adults from 45 or 48 years old cannot meet the basic fitness components for the life, like the basic needs: strength, endurance, cardiorespiratory capacity, and flexibility. Okay, they cannot meet that. People cannot literally kneel down and tie their shoelaces. People can't bend down, bend forward, and pick up a box. On top of that, we're the least functional. Again, things like picking up a box, like tying your shoelaces, being able to grab your kids and lift and play with them, or to run a little bit, or to jog a little bit, or even going upstairs. Just do the experiment and go to the supermarket, and you'll see how people is walking and just dragging their feet. There is people who can walk, but they decide to get the little cart, the little motorized cart to go around. So somewhere around 88%, more than 50% of our kids cannot meet the basic needs of fitness too. All right, and we have physical education programs like crazy. So this is the American paradox. We have all of the healthy stuff and all of the healthy stuff, but we are one of the unhealthiest nations in the world. And it's important to understand these things so we can expand our minds and maybe sometimes look in other places. And it doesn't mean that you are not patriotic or that you don't love your country or that you are a bad person. It just means that you are open-minded and you want to be healthier. And you and along the way, you want to help others be healthier too. That's what I'm trying to do with this podcast and my blog and publications and the book that I'm writing. Okay, so they were never the problem. Okay, I mean, yes, carbs, refined carbohydrates, and processed and refined sugars are correlated with serious health issues. But it, again, it's the abuse of it. It's the overuse of these things. Okay. Step number 5. Okay. I decided to take baby steps in the matter. I already mentioned baby steps. I like that concept. There is an old movie from the 80s or 90s with Bill Murray. It's called Baby Step, right? He went to this psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist had read this book that it was called Baby Steps. And it was just showing him how to go in small steps at a time to get over certain issues he had. And within the book that I'm writing, there's a part, the second part of the book is going to be dedicated to solutions, right? And part of the solutions is going to be the baby steps. So far, I have like 16 steps, something like that. But again, they will not be a definitive number. You can add, you can quit. And as I keep learning, I'll just keep sharing either on social media or here. But yeah, I mean, to rush things is not it's never a solution. Okay, we can't have quick fixes. Quick fixes go quick. Is that simple? So, excuse me. You know, life happens, and let's just say that you want to exercise, and you are committed at the beginning of the year, or let's just say next week you wanted to exercise, and you are completely committed, and hire a coach, and you tell the coach, and this is something I've been told many times, tell the coach like, oh, I'm gonna do whatever you tell me to do, I'm gonna eat whatever you tell me to eat. It doesn't, I don't care, I want to get there. The reality is you're 99.9% you're not going to be able to do that. It takes changes in your mentality, in your living, eating patterns, in your knowledge about yourself. It takes physical education. It takes much more than doing a couple of exercises. The truth is, I've coached athletes. I have coached people who are in their 90s, stroke patients, for example, and I've helped them standing up from a chair and be able to walk again, open a door, shake hands, take pictures with their family. But these are things that take time. Real changes take time. So quick fix programs, then they won't work, honestly. You might see a little change at the beginning, like you will lose weight, mostly water. Keep that in mind. At the beginning, we mostly lose water. But then you get stuck, and that's where frustration comes in. And you will get frustrated because you were sold into the idea that in 3 weeks or in 3 months or in 6 months or in whatever amount of time, you would be a totally different person. And there was no one's taking into account that you still have a life before and after that program. Okay, so it's very, very important. One day at a time, baby steps. And although goals help, I like to work with intentions, because goals, the word goal implies that it has to be done. You know, it's written in stone and that's it. What with intentions or intended goals, then you have a little more, your mind is a little more open. All right, I intend to lose 10 pounds in the next 2 months, for example. And that way, that's your intention. But then as you get, maybe you didn't get there, but you got closer. Hey, or maybe you went past that if you wanted to do that. But it is important you do not write things in stone, okay? Step number 6. So I started learning about myself, my mental as well as physical limitations. I started doing something. For a while, I went away from being a physical educator, a fitness coach, and I worked in sales, selling fitness equipment, so it was all related. But when I moved from Puerto Rico, where I'm from, to Austin, Texas, I remember that one day I found myself that I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk due to a very severe back pain. I spent 2 days on the floor. And, you know, in my mind, the first day was, all right, I'm going back to exercise tomorrow, and I'm going to do all of these push-ups, and I'm going to run. I wasn't thinking, hey, my back is all messed up. There is a lot of compression in my spine, so why would I run? I didn't think of that. But that was just the first day. And the second day, I said, you know what, let me just think about what's going on with me. Why is it my back injured? Let's start with that. Great part was exercises that I used to do like crazy, heavy squats, heavy deadlifting, a lot of jumping, things that I didn't consider the smaller exercises that I had to do to prepare. for those heavy things. Not it wasn't necessarily my weight. And you know, like what was going on with my nutrition and things like that. And I did something out of my mind. I have studied some psychology when I was in college, and I have read a couple of books on psychology, but I don't know if this is a real thing. I call it the darkness therapy. I have learned to embrace darkness. I love darkness and silence. And I remember that the second day, when I was able to move a little bit, I remember that I went to my bathroom and I just closed the door, literally closed the door, sat on the floor, and turned all lights off. The cell phone was in the living room, no watches, no nothing. Because I wanted to deprive myself from external stimulation as much as possible. I wanted to be able to be in sync with myself, to be mindful and aware about the things that were going on with me. And the only way that I found that I could do that was sitting in a room, totally dark and totally silent. All right, and I discovered a lot of things about myself. I was able to talk to myself. I was able to hear myself. And I was able to not necessarily create a very structured program at the moment, but I was able to create the foundations for that program. Personal, unique program. Everyone is very different. And it worked. And that's something that I still do whenever I'm having issues with anything, whether it's physical or whether it's, you know, mental, or whether it's I want to learn something and I can't quiet my mind or whatever. I would go and sit in the bathroom and just everything quiet. And I listen to myself. And I would recommend for you to do that as long as you don't have any phobia towards darkness and silence, right? And you need to be honest with yourself. I mean, be honest. If you're a little scared, maybe that can you can work with that little by little. Like maybe instead of I've spent an hour or 40 minutes, you know, in the darkness and in the silence. But if you can't do that, maybe do 1 minute, maybe do 2 minutes, and so on, until you finally are able to connect with yourself. Think of it as a meditation. Okay. Not just that, read books. Go to my previous podcast in episode number 1, in which I explain the importance of reading, and read objective information. Ask your family and friends, hey, how do you see me? What do you think is going on with me? Things like that. And that's very important too, because family tends to be, most of the time, they tend to be really honest and brutal. And we don't like that, but we need it. And it's very important. So anyways, learn about yourself, about your mental limitations, about your physical limitations, about your, you know, again, all aspects of health. What are your physical limitations? What are your intellectual limitations? What are your psychological limitations? What are your spiritual limitations? And what are your social limitations? And just kind of like, you don't even have to create a program for you or sit down and write anything, but at least you will know or have a better idea of what's going on. Okay? So I would recommend that, again, as long as you don't have any phobias with these things, with darkness or silence and things like that. Okay? And step number 7, it's about the nutrition. So one thing I learned was that whenever I thought of like getting a better nutrition, instead of nutrition per se, I thought of a diet. Let's cut this. Let's cut carbs. Let's cut proteins. Let's cut fat. Everything was about cutting and taking away. But I do need carbs, and I do need fats, and I do need proteins, and I do need vitamins, and I do need minerals, and I do need water, which just are the nutrients, the 6 basic nutrients. And so, you know, I learned that things like restrictive calorie diets could be very dangerous. I have I found research later on. I'm gonna get these articles and papers, and I'm going to kind of like discuss them here with you guys. But one of them was talking about how in many cases people who have very calorie restrictive diets have developed high blood pressure, for example, respiratory problems, muscular or neurological problems, and things like that, because we're not feeding our body what it needs. And although there is the thing that is fasting and things like that, it is not the same as restricting your body from certain nutrients. Let's just put it that way. Detoxing is another thing that even have killed people, just because people is just jumping into this crazy things like that. But we have to understand that most of these diets, or let's just say cleanses and things like that, were, to my understanding, and I haven't found any factual information about what I'm going to say, but to my understanding, they were created for very extreme cases, as in, hey, if we don't do anything right now, then you will die, or you will be in serious health problems that will require surgeries or medical procedures. But we're selling these things like they're just a product that you can go just to Walgreens and eat it and buy it as a product that you can just do, and there is no risk. And people are going to the hospital and people is dying. It's the same thing with crazy exercise programs. You know, there is people who go and do powerlifting like crazy or CrossFit. I'm not saying that CrossFit is the baddest thing in the world or the worst thing in the world. I'm just saying that there is people who jump into these things. And there's been people that the bars fall in their heads or in their spines and they get quadriplegic and they lose their life. There is people who have broke their knees doing super heavy bench presses because, hey, someone said that heavy lifting is the thing to do. We got to be really careful with these things, and you have to do these things in an intuitive way. I mean, do you feel good about these things? Do you feel that you have energy? Can you still function during the day without having any problems or having issues? Yeah, these things have to be considered. If you don't know how to start these things, hey, contact a coach, a physical educator. You can contact me. You can go to the local gym. This is my recommendation. As long as this professional is not trying to sell you a miracle program, a miracle diet, the super supplement or the super food that is going to save your life and transform you for the rest of your life, and you will have the best shape ever, you're good. So just be careful with that. But yeah, I mean, this is what I wrote. Think about it. Besides all of your issues, and we all have them, right? We have our responsibilities, work, school, etc. Do you really need to add more stress by counting calories and grams? After that, you know, like drinking 3 gallons of water, and you have to really drink them throughout the day, match your carbs with your proteins and fats, while at the same time make sure to do it before, during, or after working out, then making sure that you have 100 milligrams of this with 1,000 milligrams of that. It's very complicated. And again, we already have things to do in the day and issues. Personal issues that we need to deal with before we start going crazy with these things. All right. So, and that was the last step, the seventh one. And again, you will have the blog, the link for this article in the Thrive Global website. You will have the link for my blog, and I will find the link. I have it in my references for my book. For the statistics about the population, the American population that cannot meet the fitness requirements for daily living and quality of life. And all right, and that's it, guys. Again, thank you for watching. I want you to hit like. I want you to, if you are not subscribed right now, go now and subscribe to this program so you can receive notifications every time I have a new podcast. Tell your friends and family about this. One thing that I was thinking, and it's very interesting, if you are either a neurologist or a cardiologist or a psychologist or a sociologist, social worker, or you know people who work in these fields of health, I would like to contact them. And if possible, have a split screen communication or podcast with them, or meeting in person if they're in the Central Florida area, to discuss what they think and what they would recommend about health, fitness, and physical education, and you know, the statistics that they have found in their research and their studies or in their practices, and how to help us understand health in a better way. So if you know these people, or if you are one of these people, just I'm going to also put my email down in the comments so you can reach me out. Participate in this podcast. Make comments about it. Ask questions about the things that I'm discussing here, so that way I can just maybe keep looking for more information, or we can enter into a discussion about what you want to know about. And again, it'll give me energy and motivation to keep doing this. Okay, I'm still learning about this podcasting thing. It's super cool. What I like that is informal. I just have a spotlight there, but it's not. There's no crazy editing or things like that, so it's easy for me. But again, hit like, subscribe, and share with your friends and family, and participate. All right, and hey, let's go beyond fitness. Have a great day, guys.